the Ain't No Fang podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Steve Zinsmeister, Derek Montilla. It's going on right now. The Diamondbacks are playing right now.
It's happening.
We're recording this Thursday afternoon. It's roughly 12:45. They are just wrapping up with the Pirates. What is this, game three?
This is game four.
Feels like it went kind of quick, but the Diamondbacks have had a lot of success against the Pirates so far in this series, and maybe that's why it feels like it's been going pretty quick. They're up 5-0 right now, bottom of the ninth, I think you said?
Correct, bottom of the ninth.
So
and that seems to be in place. It seems to be in place, and that will basically be a sweep of the Pirates by the D-backs in this four-game series. So that's impressive in itself that they've been able to get on track, but they've had a really impressive road trip, and overall I think that everybody can pretty much agree that they have been overachieving at this point of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could say that on a team level. You could say that on an individual level. We'll get into a few of the specific players and how they're doing. Overall, right now, you told me this before the podcast, so I'm going to give you credit on this one, but I'm still going to say it.
No.
The Diamondbacks are on pace to be 90-72.
Correct.
Still a small sample size.
Very small sample size.
We are less than a month into the season.
Right, and we've also seen the Diamondbacks come out hot before in the past. So
yeah.
they right now very much so look like the same team they have in the past. I mean, they have times where they look dominant. They have times where they look like they could be something special. And their record still reflects them still being, you know, around 500 possibly by the end of the season. But right now they're currently on pace to go 90-72. So I think the big question there is that sustainable? Do we feel now at this point that we've seen enough of this team to believe that this team could go 90 wins or better?
And just to go along with the narrative of the roller coaster and the fluctuation of statistics, last time we spoke on the podcast, Nick Ahmed was tearing it up, and now his batting average is back down to .267.
Correct.
So that's one of the falls. And there's
on the flip side to that, we were kind of poking fun at our pal Paul Goldschmidt, and
yes,
he has been on an absolute tear lately himself.
And, well, I was going to say the same of on the team. Eduardo Escobar is a guy who we talked about a week ago was struggling, and now I'd see his batting averages back up to, what is it, .290 now?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are ebbs and flows in any season. There are ebbs and flows in a week.
The one thing with this team, though, is they seem to be getting production so much consistently, or consistent production out of so many different guys, right? So when you look at their current run production, the Diamondbacks are seventh in MLB for runs produced. And when you look, yeah, right, and it doesn't seem like they would be that high, but lately they've really been putting it on some teams. Over the last three games, in fact, and I'm sure today's game would factor into this as well, they rank first in MLB for runs per game over the last three. But their season average before tonight's game was 5.44, so that puts them seventh in MLB. They have five players currently in the top 40 for RBI. You have Escobar, as you mentioned. You also have Christian Walker, Adam Jones, David Peralta, and leading the way is Ketel Marte. So these guys have...
Ketel has the most?
He has the most RBI. Yeah, he had 20 RBIs.
And he homered from both sides of the plate the other day.
He did homer from both sides of the plate. It was the eighth instance in which a Diamondback player homered from both sides of the plate in a single game, and he is responsible for two of them because he's done it twice this season where he's homered from both sides of the plate.
There have been eight times Diamondbacks have done it. And we are in the 21st season?
Correct.
And
Marte
of Diamondbacks history?
Two of those games.
Wow.
Right. You look at David Peralta, another guy who has been amazingly consistent and now has hit safely in 22 of the team's first 25 games.
Yeah, he's hitting .330 right now.
Right.
On base sure looks good at .366. We've talked a lot about Adam Jones being the huge addition. He looked like the Diamondbacks' best player for the first couple of weeks. He's still hitting very, very well. I'd still put him in the raking category. He's hitting over .300 and certainly playing an important position in the outfield, really anchoring that outfield along with David Peralta. But Ketel Marte has kind of been the surprise factor because I don't think anybody expected him to play as good of a center field as he has. We're all thankful that he has, but I don't think anybody expected it.
No.
Their outfield has been really, like, in my opinion, the crux of this team in the field for me.
And another person that has really stepped up not only at the plate but defensively has been Christian Walker. We've seen him make some outstanding plays at first base. He's been ridiculous at the plate. And, again, he's another guy that, like, he's an embodiment of this whole question, can this be sustainable? Is this the team? You know, Christian Walker just hasn't been given opportunities, just like some of these guys that are now getting these opportunities to start every day and be a major factor on this team. They're being given the opportunities, and so far from what we've seen early on in the season, they're stepping up and you know, being very successful in these roles they're being given.
Can I read some of the stats off just
please,
from Christian Walker?
Please.
The guy's hitting .333, which we, you know, it's still early in the season, but that's a really good number. He's on base .393. That leads the team. His on base plus slugging, OPS, is the only one on the team over 1,000. He's at 1.072, which is unheard of. And then his OPS plus. Now, this statistic, the way that I've been told, OPS plus accounts for the ballpark, and Chase Field is a notoriously good hitter's
correct,
ballpark.
Correct.
OPS plus, basically, if you're at 100, that's like an average player. Anything below 100 is bad. Anything above 100 is good. He's at 168.
Yeah.
The next highest on the team, I believe, is in the 130s. 131 is the next highest. He is not just doing well. Christian Walker is thriving as the first baseman of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And this is interesting because what happens when Jake Lamb comes back? And knowing Torey Lovello and his sometimes... he's too loyal to his players.
His insistence to give opportunities when he doesn't need to really mess with the current formula.
It just makes me wonder, are you going to stick with Christian Walker every day, like the everyday first baseman, like you would with Paul Goldschmidt? I'm not trying to equate Christian Walker to Paul Goldschmidt.
No, I completely get where you're coming from.
He certainly does not have that pedigree yet.
When you look at Jake Lamb, the way I see it is he has done nothing in his career at this point to be given playing time. I feel like Jake Lamb at this point would need to earn it. And if somebody else is outperforming him, it's going to be a tough road for him to get playing time because he has two excellent players at third base and first base that right now are being very successful at both sides of the game, right? So they're successful defensively, so you can't really find too many flaws there, and you can say, well, he's a better glove. And then at the plate, you know, Escobar going into today's game, Escobar's 9 hits in this series against the Pirates is tied for 5th most in team history in a 4-game series. So, I mean, especially when someone's hot, are you going to take him out? I know Lovello and the way he manages, and he's never going to play guys every single day unless he absolutely has to. That's the only reason why he would continue to play guys without giving them a break eventually. His end game, there's your Avengers tie-in, is to get these guys through the season and to get them through 162 games, right? He sees it for being what it is. It's a grind, it's a stretch, and you're going to have to do whatever you can to keep your guys fresh throughout that season. That's always been his MO as far as managing this team. He always wants, like, we've seen him before pull guys out when they were in the middle of a hitting streak. We've seen him pull guys out when they were doing all sorts of things successfully. So really what it comes down to him is managing you know, the players and making sure everybody is as fresh as possible, especially if they're planning to make any kind of postseason run or if they're in a position to make a postseason run. With projection at 90 and 72, yeah, that's postseason run material. So I would see him giving Jake Lamb time, but I just don't think Jake Lamb would be given that a main role back at either of those positions without having earned it.
You know what's interesting? Just looking at some of Christian Walker's splits, he's hitting very well against right-handed pitching. .386 batting average, .417 on base. That's excellent. Versus lefties, .208 average. He's not hitting lefties really well right now. He's still getting on base .345, though.
Yeah.
And you would take that any day of the week.
Yeah, for sure.
Twice on Sunday.
For sure.
And so he's doing really well in a lot of categories. He could hit better against lefties. I get that. Now, what I don't really understand is it says he's hitting .343 against left-handed starters. So is he just struggling against lefty relievers, like hardcore? I'm not really sure how that works out. But, I mean, Christian Walker has gone above and beyond our expectations so far.
Well, that's interesting, too, because a lot of his success has been in the seventh inning and later. So you would think
right,
that it would be the opposite. You would think he would have more success against relief pitchers than the starters. But
yeah, maybe I'm not reading that right. But
maybe
yeah.
Maybe you're not.
My reading comprehension skills are
we know.
Suboptimal,
yeah, it's
to
right.
say the least.
It's all right. But what we're seeing right now is a team finding its identity and having a ton of confidence. You know, they're really on a roll. This Pirates team was no slouch coming into the series. And my favorite thing is to see the amount of tweets from people who are saying, please get the Diamondbacks out of here. We don't want to see them again for a very long time. Diamondbacks have absolutely beat up on the Pirates over the last couple of series that they've played them. So especially in Pittsburgh, it's definitely one of those things. It's a nice feeling to see the Diamondbacks be dominant over a team. And, you know, we didn't really expect to see that in the season at any point. I think it's fantastic. I think they're doing a great job. And I don't know where this team can go at this point. But if Zach Greinke keeps hitting like this, the sky is the limit. First career triple today. Zach Greinke, more extra base hits than Justin Turner.
Wasn't it Taijuan Walker early in, was it spring training or early in the season when he started tweeting about pitchers who rake? Because remember, Greinke hit, was it Greinke who hit a home run? And Luke Weaver hit a home run, I think is what it was. And he started tweeting hashtag pitchers who rake. I think that could very easily become a thing. But we knew Greinke could hit.
Right. Absolutely.
We knew this.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like Bumgarner. Like, we all knew the guy could hit. Or, like, Kershaw is pretty good at hitting, isn't he?
Yeah,
Kershaw. It's like these huge names in the NL West. Isn't it weird? Like, doesn't it feel like the NL West has the pitchers that can hit really well?
Well, let me ask you this, though. Have any of those pitchers ever recorded a cycle through the first month of the season? No, they haven't, because Zach Greinke set history today, being the first pitcher in baseball history to do so in the season's opening month.
To hit for the cycle in a month. First of all,
yes.
That shouldn't be a stat.
First of all, I don't like your attitude.
That shouldn't be a stat.
I don't like the way that you're talking to me right now.
But it's still kind of impressive, I guess.
You know, his career extra base hits, he has 35 career extra base hits.
Really?
He's tied for fourth most by a pitcher with Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah.
The three above him are Jason Marquis, Carlos Zambrano, and Adam Wainwright in number one position with 45.
Adam Wainwright was good at hitting. Carlos Zambrano is probably notoriously one of the great hitter, like, pitchers in the National League in the last decade or two.
For sure.
He had a massive temper problem, but, you know, we all knew about that too. How would you compare Zach Greinke's triple today to probably the most infamous triple in Diamondbacks pitcher history?
Oh, yeah.
Which was Archie Bradley's.
Yes.
What was that, 2 years ago now?
Yes.
In the playoffs? How would you compare that?
In the wild card game.
In the wild card game.
Well, that's hard to compare.
Two totally different situations.
Yeah, like, on one hand, it was shocking to see, you know, Archie Bradley do that, because we never get to see him hit. We never get to see him even have those opportunities.
Right.
So Zach Greinke, it's kind of more expected that he got, you know, it's like if you hear that two of those guys got triple, you would definitely be more surprised. And Archie's had more weight. Archie's was more important. That was a major moment.
Yeah.
I've never heard that
it was
stadium
dramatic.
As loud as it was. It was an amazing moment.
It's right? In all the promotional videos now.
Yeah. But if you want to talk about quality of triple, Zach Greinke sliding. You don't get better than Zach Greinke extending a double into a triple and sliding into third base. You don't get any better than that, because there's absolutely no reason for him to be doing that. It's actually bad that he did that, but it's also badass that he did that. It's one of those inspiring moments that when you, as another player on that team, just earn a ton of respect for that guy, because he just put his body on the line just to extend a hit into a triple. You know, like, that's something, especially as someone like Zach Greinke, who has so much to lose potentially by possibly getting injured on a play like that. Really, as another athlete, you have to respect that and be like, man, you know, like, that's got to earn him some clubhouse
points. That's what's interesting to me, because he's one of the most cerebral pitchers in baseball.
Sure.
I mean, that's how he makes his money, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's a smart pitcher. He's not going to overpower you in a lot of ways.
That good old Ephus pitch whenever he decides to dig
that
out. Right.
So, as a cerebral pitcher and one of the smarter guys in baseball, I would think he, of all people, would know the risk that he's taking by doing that. So,
correct.
It does surprise me a little bit. But then, at the same time, he, of all pitchers, would understand the value that he's providing himself on the mound by doing that at the plate.
Sure. Not to mention the fact that you're really winning, like, your team over, right? Like, you're already talking about somebody that a lot of his teammates lately, you could tell he's won them over. You know, he's weird, he's quirky, but for the most part, behind closed doors, a lot of them have established a relationship with him at this point, and he's been here longer than a lot of the guys that are on this roster currently. So he's gotten himself into a position of being you know, a veteran leader in that locker room. And I mean, again, that kind of stuff can only help, you know, just raise that confidence level of the entire team that much more, right? I mean, how can you lag out a double when you saw Greinke do that the day before? Next time you're going to get an opportunity for a gapper to turn a double into a triple, you're going to go for it too, because how can you live in that dugout knowing Zach Greinke out hustled you on a play around the bases, right? I mean, there's things there I think that are bigger than just that one single play, but it was also the effort there. Like Archie Bradley, going back to it, his triple was pretty much a solid triple. This was definitely like a quality baseball play that Greinke made to extend a double into a triple. I don't ever want to see him do it again, but at the same time too, it was awesome, you know. And I think that there's something to be said for that about a team. There's something to be said about doing everything you can to win every single game in a season, especially when you've seen the season slip away from you, when you've been in first place and you've seen it just go away and evaporate. You want to do everything you can to keep that momentum going. I think this was one of those moments, you know. I think it's one of those moments that's going to be bigger than just for Zach Greinke or being a cool, you know, triple. I think this is like an inspiring moment for the team to, you know, kind of give them some life and energy going forward.
Yeah, definitely a huge moment for the player, but also for the team. Listen, the 90 and 72 pace, they might not be able to keep that up. We certainly didn't expect that.
Not at all.
Especially since we talked about, I think all three of us on the podcast decided that this is probably a 70, somewhere in the 70 range,
sure,
in wins,
sure,
at the beginning of the season. Have you changed your mind on that at all?
I think that they'll be a 500 club.
I don't remember the number you gave.
Right.
I think you were around 500.
Well,
though.
Yeah, and that's what I'm still thinking. I'm still not completely bought into this. But what we've seen out of this team is we've seen every single acquisition that they've made pretty much working out. Right? Every single offseason acquisition has come in and contributed to this team. There hasn't been pitchers coming in and, you know, kind of being, you know, having a lot of hope into their career, having a lot of hope that they can come into this team and bring a lot of dominance and then watching them kind of fall apart. We've seen that over the last couple of seasons. So far what we've seen is the adjustments they made to this team, especially with the hole that was left by the All-Stars that left this team. We've seen them be able to not only keep on pace for what they were doing last season, but be very surprising because our expectations were low. I'm still questioning whether that this is a sustainable pace, but I do think that they're going to be better than we or a lot of people gave them credit for. Maybe that's why they're doing so good. Maybe they got themselves into a position of expectations being so low that it allowed them to just play baseball and not try to live up to certain expectations. It's the reason why they were so good 2 years ago when they did make the playoffs and they did have that wild card game that you're talking about. They not a lot was expected out of them. And that season they did things that you know, were impressive. And again, the acquisitions they made and JD Martinez and other things were key to the success that season. I think we'll see that this season. I think we'll see Merrill Kelly and some of the other pitching staff continue to be solid, you know, rotational pitchers for this team. And I can't imagine this offense being any better, but if they can keep it at this pace or maybe just a notch under it, I think that they could be a really good baseball team.
So I want to try something as we finish up the podcast, the Ain't No Fang podcast here. Steve Zinsmeister, that's Derek Montilla. Today is notably a big day in sports, not necessarily baseball. The NFL draft starts tonight. First round of the NFL draft. The Arizona Cardinals have the first overall pick. We all know this.
What are they going to do?
They're going to do something.
They are.
They might do multiple things. I don't know. Who knows?
They might get more than one person.
You certainly don't need us on the Ain't No Fang podcast running through the Cardinals situation and what they're going to do. If you really want that content, it's being shoved down your throat elsewhere. Go find it.
I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed in the press box at the Arizona Cardinals.
No, facility. I wouldn't expect. No. Yeah, no, you wouldn't make it in there. Maybe with that shirt, though. That's a great shirt,
by the way.
It's
a good shirt, right?
Yeah. If you want to check out the shirt, just check out Derek's Twitter. I'm sure he's tweeted a picture of himself today. I want to do this exercise. 5-on-5, you versus me. Let's draft Diamondbacks players, current Diamondbacks on the roster, not injured.
Ooh.
5-on-5,
okay,
to play a pickup football game.
All right.
So let's pick.
Do I get first pick?
Ooh, you do get first pick.
Okay.
These are current Diamondbacks players, not injured, who will play a 5-on-5 pickup game of football.
Okay, so I get the first pick?
Quarterback, running back, two receivers, and a snapper slash lineman who can receive.
With my first pick in the Arizona Diamondbacks 2019 football draft, I'm going to select out of Muskogee, Oklahoma, Archie Bradley.
Yeah. I knew Bradley would go.
At quarterback.
Yeah, I figured.
Archibald Bradley.
All right, so he's really, I mean, he played quarterback.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
That's the problem.
That's right, Steve.
He was going to go to Oklahoma.
And he was going to be a fantastic
That's
quarterback.
That's the problem. He is the natural fit to play quarterback in this game that we're creating.
I've already beat you.
Yeah, you already have.
Yeah.
He's also the most athletic player on the team. I'll go that far right now.
We're going to tweet our teams out, and we're going to see who thinks the better team is.
Absolutely.
Here. All right, your pick. First
All right,
pick.
So I could either pick a quarterback, which there really is no clear-cut number two quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I'm going to pick the guy who I believe is most versatile. He could play literally anywhere in this game.
All right.
David Peralta.
Oh, David Peralta.
And where am I going to slot him?
Where are you slotting him at?
For right now, and this could change, I'm going to put him at wide receiver.
I'm going to immediately counter your wide receiver with a wide receiver of my own and an outfielder in Adam Jones.
Jones is a good pick. He's a big guy.
Yeah, that's my number one receiver right there.
Because you want Steven Souza. I know you do, but he's injured.
He's injured. He was, yeah.
You can't pick a guy who's injured. All right. I think I know who I want to be my quarterback, but I'm going to hold on for a second.
Yeah, because I'm not going to take him, maybe. Who knows?
You
maybe
might
I'll,
not.
Maybe
I don't
I'll
know.
Slide him as my tight end.
You might, though. I am going to go with Jerod Dyson as my Brandon Cooks, Tyreek Hill type of wide receiver.
Mm.
Jerod Dyson is the, fourth pick in this draft. Your next pick.
At tight end slash lineman.
Slash lineman, okay.
I'm going with the bull, Zach Godley.
Oh, that's a good pick. And he's the kind of dog that you know, like, he don't care.
Yeah,
he
no.
don't care. He will.
He's down in the trenches.
He will mess you up.
He's going to be.
That's like, a great pick.
Sticking thumbs in people's eyes and whatnot. Yeah, he's.
I'm
not,
glad you said eyes because I wasn't sure where you were going.
Yeah, he's
with
not
that.
Letting Archie get tackled. No, that's not happening.
If you're going to poke someone in the eye, are you using your thumb?
No, I'm going Three Stooges.
Okay.
I'm going Three Stooges,
right.
And if you block it with the Mo block, I'm coming at you with two fingers right in both eyes.
All right. Oh, I wrote Zach Godley down on my team.
Yeah,
I did,
don't do that.
I definitely did not get him. All right. I'm going to knock out my quarterback.
All right.
I wonder what you'll think of this. Luke Weaver.
Luke Weaver.
I have no idea if Luke Weaver can throw a football.
Luke?
I have no idea.
Weaver.
I was just thinking, like, who's a young, semi-athletic guy with an arm?
That's an interesting pick. For my running back position, I am going to go with Ketel Marte.
That's a good one. I thought about that. I thought about that one for sure. I like your team better. Can I?
No.
Okay.
No.
Let's see. Who do I have left? I need a running back and a lineman.
Oh, by the way, the Diamondbacks are currently carrying four catchers. If you,
yeah, but Avila's hurt, so I can't pick him. So they have Caleb Joseph, Carson Kelly, and John Ryan Murphy. Father John Ryan Murphy.
Father, thank you.
You're welcome. I caught myself the second time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Pause for dramatic effect.
Whew, that's good.
Thanks, man. Lineman Carson Kelly. Can you imagine the chemistry between my lineman and my quarterback? We ain't dropping any snaps.
Could you imagine Zach Godley playing defensive lineman and running over your offensive lineman?
Yeah,
on this
imagine if we
game?
Picked a defense.
Yes.
If we picked defense, yeah. This is, yeah. I didn't think about defense at all.
Yeah. See, I'm going to go with a surprising pick for my last pick.
Okay. What do you have left, by the way?
I have a wide receiver spot left open.
Okay.
And for my final wide receiver spot,
yeah,
I'm going with Nick Ahmed.
Ahmed.
Yeah.
Shorter guy. Not particularly fast.
Not really short. 6'2", so not really short.
Is he 6'2"?
He's 6'2".
Oh, okay.
And he's also got the best hands on the team. He's going to be my slot receiver.
That's true.
I'm going to make him into my Wes Welker.
Your Julian Edelman?
He's going to be my Julian Edelman.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
No, that's good. That is good. All right, so I'm down to just a running back. I've already got speed with Jerod Dyson. I think Jerod Dyson, honestly, could be my running back in some situations.
Yeah, definitely.
So this guy can be a little more versatile.
Sure.
Running back, the running back, y'all, Eduardo Escobar.
I don't hate that pick.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
But I do hate your team, because mine is so much better than yours.
All right, read your team.
We got Archie Bradley at quarterback.
That's a great pick.
Adam Jones at wide receiver, next to Nick Ahmed at wide receiver. Then at running back, we have Ketel Marte. And keeping everybody safe, going for those L routes, lineman / tight end Zach Godley.
Who will take you out. He will take you out.
There's no question about it.
All right, my team is quarterback Luke Weaver. No idea if he can throw a football.
No idea.
I don't know what you think of that pick, but
I don't know what I think of
it. We need to ask Luke Weaver what he thinks of my pick.
We do. I want to see how if he had a background in football at some point.
Running back, the running back, y'all, Eduardo Escobar. Wide receivers, but very versatile players, David Peralta and Jerod Dyson.
You're just like Lavolo. You went for versatility.
I did. All these guys could play anything else except for maybe Luke Weaver. And we don't even know he can play quarterback. And then my lineman / tight end is Carson Kelly. Who's better at receiving than a catcher?
I can't wait to see Zach Godley clean his clock. It's going to be
awesome.
Can
Zach Godley catch, though?
Who cares?
He doesn't need to.
That's not why he's out there.
This has been a fun exercise.
This was good.
All right, I'm going to tweet out from the account. From the show account, the Ain't No Fang podcast. I don't actually know what our handle is.
Right.
I think it's Ain't No Fang. I don't know.
It's Ain't No Fang.
Ain't No Fang? Okay.
It's pretty bad.
Pretty bad that I don't know it.
Yeah.
We will tweet out. I'll retweet it from mine. You'll retweet it from yours. And just let us know who has the better team, mostly me. And how do we do on picking our Diamondbacks players, current Diamondbacks players, who would make good football players. By the way, there would be some really good ones in the past. Like, could you imagine Randy Johnson as a receiver?
That's a whole other episode.
We might have to do that.
We need an hour.
Let's come back tomorrow.
We need an hour long special for
let's
that.
Let's come back tomorrow and do it tomorrow. Like, I could think of some really good names for the future, like from the past.
Yeah, oh yeah, there would be some good ones in there.
And imagine
Steve
the future.
Finley.
I would actually. This is going to be really nerdy. I would do this with current Diamondbacks prospects.
All right. Well, now you're going too far.
Kevin Crone?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I would say, yeah.
You know I'm right.
That's my lineman right there.
All right. Let us know how we did, both on the podcast and in this exercise.
Yeah.
And if we're complete idiots, let us know that too.
Sure.
We won't respond. Or we might. I'm Steve Zinsmeister. That's Derek Montilla. Thanks so much for listening to the Ain't No Fang podcast here at ArizonaSports.com.
Unless you didn't like the show, then I'm Andy Greenberg.